You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show, where we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. If this is the first time you're joining us, let me tell you about a couple of things that we do here. We are affiliated with the CommonSenseShow.com website, and we hope that you'll go over there because we are following, we're right in the middle of a five-part series right now where we're talking about the coup that is underway, and the coup is not directed at Trump. Well, indirectly it is. It's directed at you, and we're going to really lay out some of the specifics for an article that will appear tomorrow in the final part of this series. We're also on YouTube, and we do 5 to 6 daily podcasts a day on our YouTube channel. They're like little mini news events, and I'd encourage you to keep up with those as well, too, because people say, Dave, why don't you broadcast more than one day a week? And believe me, we have looked at it, but my schedule is absolutely insane, and it's hard for me to get to that. So this is kind of the poor man's substitute for being on every day. I mean, you look at the Hagmans, they deserve the Iron Man Award. I'm saying they're on the radio more than radio. It's incredible what they're doing over there. And anyway, we're on Global Star Radio Network, this great network. We're also on Red State Talk Radio, and we're on all the affiliate stations, and we're on iTunes and all the usual cast of characters. So if you're new, welcome, and we're really glad you could join us. We have a really good show for you tonight. In the third hour, we're going to be joined by Dane Wigington, and he has done some phenomenal scientific research on what's going on with regard to these hurricanes, and we haven't seen the last of them. You can mark my words on that. In the second hour, we'll be joined by Dr. Ted Brower. We're going to kind of split the topics up into two. In the first part, we're going to be talking about current events, and we're going to actually get into a couple of things that have escaped really the media's attention because we've been so focused on the NFL, North Korea. And Ted's going to bring some new items to our attention. In the second part of that, we're going to be talking about medical fraud. And there's more coming at us than you'll ever know. And if you think the Republican version of health care is going to do the job, well, we'll tell you why it won't now on this last failed attempt, or it won't in the future. It seems like bad health care is in our future. I mean, just no matter which way we look. And in the first hour, we're going to be joined in just a moment by Joshua Coy, formerly of WYDE, and courtesy of Crawford Broadcasting. He is now joining the family here. And this is, I'm going to let him tell you all about this, but we're actually going to be doing something, and I'm going to entitle this kind of like the Frankenstein Hour. You're not going to believe what we're both going to reveal. We both have our stories. Excuse me. This hour is brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. My good friend Steve Quayle, converting soon-to-be worthless cash, or certainly diminishing in value cash, into precious metals. And if we do have a collapse and we come out the other side, you're going to want to have something that you can use of substance, and gold and silver, the only things that have really ever held their value. You can get a hold of Steve at 406-586-586. 4842. Again, that number for the tongue-tied, 406-586-4842. We're also brought to you by Virtual Shield. I love these people. Love them to death. Why? Because I wish I had this when I first started in this business, and my threat matrix score against the deep state would not be through the roof, because they hide your IP address by bouncing it from VPN to VPN. And they're giving 20% off if you use my name, Hodges, as the coupon code. and you can get started for as low as $4.95. But when you see some of the upgrades that aren't very much, you're going to want to take advantage of those. VirtualShield.com is the place to go. Make sure you use that coupon code Hodges for the 20% off. And then finally, everybody, and I mean everybody, needs to have storable food. This is why I push Numana. That's why I push it hard, because they're the very best. They win on all the comparison tests. The quality is second to none. And I would encourage all of you, if you haven't started food preparation or if it's incomplete, go to our webpage at numana.com/Hodges and look at all the convenient options. And if you're just getting started, my favorite is the grab-and-go bucket. 72 meals, and you can bug out with it. Go to, again, numana.com/Hodges. Use the coupon code Hodges9 to take 5% off. Well, Josh Coy is no stranger to frequent listeners to this show. Interviewed him a lot on the podcast, have quoted him quite frequently on thecommonsenseshow.com, and now he's joining the family here at Global Star Radio Network. Josh, first of all, welcome to the show, and also welcome to the network.
Thank you, Dave, as always. A very good introduction. And I do have a question, though. What was the deal with one of your little promo introduction recordings that you got there where the guy sounds British? Are you now so popular, Dave, that you got to have a guy with a British accent doing your intro? Because I know you were getting big. I didn't know you were getting that big.
That's pretty good.
You got the other languages there going.
Oh, there's a story behind it, but I can't tell it over the air. I'm really sorry. It's good. He's good, but I can't tell this story. Oh, I'd love to, Josh. We're gonna. You come to Phoenix sometimes, but we'll sit down for a cold one, and I'll tell you all about this. It's pretty amazing.
That's an interesting one.
Well, we're going to be changing our intro soon anyway, and our exit. You know, we've had this now, gosh, I think, what, 4 or 5 years, and it's really time to you know, you got to shift every now and then. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh the other day and just happened to catch him. He was actually quite good this day, very, very good, talking about all the crap that's wrong with the tax plan that Trump is putting forth. There's a few good things in there, but it's more negative than good. And he was just ripping through it. And then his intro music, or his exit music, comes on. Oh, come on, Rush, that's 30 years old, okay? You know, really, pull the cobwebs out there. And the poor guy, you know, it comes to all of us. Okay, so, me. He sounded like he was 100 years old. Poor Rush, and I know he's had some health issues, and I pray for Rush. I mean, I think his heart's in the right place, but, nah, we're changing the music, so... We're working on it. My webmaster is also a former master producer, and he's given me some ideas, and we're kind of exploring that end of it. And probably by the first of the year, you won't be hearing Dave Hodges. No, you're not going to hear that. No,
okay,
that'll
all right.
Be gone. That'll be gone, Josh. Well, anyway, tell everyone that your show's airing, and let's hear about that before we jump into the Frankenstein Hour.
Yeah, sure. My show will... be airing on Saturday, actually. I think it's the 7th, 10-7 on Global Star, and Todd is kind enough to be helping me out. Going to have a new producer. For those of you who've never done radio, doing radio without a producer is a literal human nightmare. Keeping control of a two-hour show all by yourself anyway is enough. But doing it without a producer, you got to do your own music, got to do your own calls, got to do your own everything. Yeah, I'm not. Producers are producers for a reason, and hosts are hosts for a reason. So I'm really looking forward to working with Todd and working with Global Star, and of course, finally getting on the Comic
Josh,
show.
Josh, I got to stop you. I got to stop you on this, though. When I broke into radio, I got into it because of the property rights thing, and our audience that follows us knows this, so I won't bore you with the details, but... The late Pete
Peterson.
That's
when you still got John McCain, my friend.
Oh, that's right. That's when he and I became camp buddies. But the late Pete Peterson, KBSC, and it's no longer in existence, 1280 AM, Wickenburg, Arizona, population 6,000, great, great, great town, great people. And Pete said to me, Dave, you've been on 3 times. I think you need to have a show. And guess what? He gave me a 20-minute lesson. And I was producing my own show. I was doing my own news. And I'll tell you about the first month there, and I'm having great guests on, like Jerome Corsi and Alex Jones's guest host, Bob Dacey, and get these great guys to come on, and I couldn't get past my own incompetence technically. So it was quite the, I'll tell you what, you're right about you're watching the clock and you're trying to hit the button.
Oh, yeah.
This was largely a country western music station, and so one time I hit the button and some country western singer, I think it was Garth Brooks, came on when I was supposed to be playing exit music. So I guess it was an interesting experience. That's how I got my feet wet, and it was the only time that I ever tried to produce my own show. Now eventually I got it figured out, but I will tell you this: running the phones, because we did call-ins, and we were live streamed, and we had people, some other stations were picking us up on an open feed, so we had calls from all over the country. And I didn't have a call screener. Oh, man, is that a nightmare, because you don't know what you're going to get. It's worse than the box of chocolates that Forrest Gump talked about. Hello, you're on KVSC. You're on a blip. See, you had 7 seconds to make that decision.
I actually dropped myself from my own show. Literally. I mean, like I accidentally hit the drop button and dropped my entire show in the middle of it. That was when I made the decision, yeah, I just really need a producer. Can't really do this till we get a producer. But, yeah, anyway.
Brother. Yeah, but that's why we got... Todd's like the master sergeant in the Army. You know, he keeps everybody alive. We're going into combat, and Todd's there to make sure we go home to our mamas. Yep. So it's a great deal here at Global Star. I'm so glad to have you on. Now, what time does your show air on Saturday night again?
It's probably going to be around 7 o'clock on Saturday evening, and it'll be a two-hour show, so it's my show being done on Global Star and being done on the Common Sense Show. So it's
awesome.
It's going to be great, man.
What time zone?
Getting back on the air.
Josh, what time zone? You say around 7. We want to be precise.
7 o'clock would be Central Time.
8
so,
o'clock Eastern. Okay.
What I'm going to do is we'll do a... I'm going to do a couple of podcasts during the week to let everybody know, get the time out there, get the day out there to everybody that I can. And all of my older listeners, my listeners that have been with me for so long, the ones that have protested the fact that I'm no longer on 101 so incredibly loud and well, it really made an incredible impact. And so I've got all of them anxious to have me back on the air. So I'm truly looking forward to it.
Me too. I mean, Crawford Broadcasting's mistake and loss is our gain here. And I encourage our listening audience to tune in. And it sounds like you're on the same exact time in the evening that I'm on. So I think that's actually terrific. And Josh and I are going to run each other's shows, his podcasts. So you'll want to watch that too. Well, Josh, let's get down to some content here, because this has really been a weird week. And if Gary Haven is listening, my good friend, former owner of Curves, I'm trying to get Gary on next week. We're working on that now. But Gary sent me things, and Dave, they did away with this, and thank God they did. But here's what they did away with. I did a podcast on this earlier in the week. If you have gone to the Baltimore Ravens football game today, which was their home opener, they were going to take DNA samples from 55,000 fans.
Yep.
Now, they made you sign. They were going to make you sign a waiver, and they actually were dumb enough to publish the damn thing. And I put it up there and said, here's what you had to denounce all royalties, all rights to it. They owned your DNA that they were going to take from you. Well, I wasn't alone. After I ran that podcast, I put a feeler out on one of the search engines, not Google, and one of the search engines came back with, like, there were like 2,000 people that wrote about that within a 24-hour period. And I'm going, whoa, I think they got it. And then Gary sent me that I think it was, I don't remember if it was Skype or text, but Gary said, Dave, they're not doing it now. They backed off. But...
Yeah, they've completely backed off. But what was amazing, when you were the one who broke the story to me, and so I went, and that's what kind of, what was amazing was it ties into to what I had been researching, And that was what always blows me away, is that every time you've introduced me to a story, it seems to be right in line with something else that I am currently digging into and about to do a show on. And so you introduced me to this story, and they literally called it DNA Day. I mean, the Baltimore Sun printed this story. Ravens game, DNA Day. The very NFL has their very first DNA Day. And it's all because of this you know, testing company called Origin, which when you run their background, they're involved with the federal government. And the general idea, when you introduced it to me and then I started studying it, the general idea, if anybody hasn't heard of this, was to pass out these DNA test kits. And so basically you hand them your ticket, they hand you a DNA test kit. And there's pictures of it in the Baltimore Sun, and there's pictures of the kit itself. And the fans were instructed to basically, you open up the kit and it'll have a mouth swab inside the kit, you know, just like a which basically is like a long Q-tip. And you are instructed to swab the inside of your mouth, inside your cheek, and then you put it into this little tube, this little container, and you would drop the sample into a bin in the stadium as you're leaving. But yes, it has a waiver where you sign away all your rights, and the way they were selling it to people was, this is going to be so great for you because we're going to be able to test your DNA and we're going to send you the information, and you'll know your own genealogy, and you'll be able to, this is going to be free. So they were promoting it as this wonderful thing that they're handing out, and it's going to be free and it's going to be great. And by the way, we're really the federal government, and the NFL is actually well, we don't pay taxes because the government pretty much funds the NFL. So if the NFL is telling you, we're going to be taking your DNA, and the NFL basically is the federal government, funded by the federal government, owned and operated by the federal government, because most major league sports are in some way funded by the government, not all that good of an idea to give them your DNA. And I was amazed that people were so outraged by it, because, you know, we see how apathetic the American people are. And they, you know, if a sports figure tells you to do it, a lot of times, like as we've seen with the NFL, they will do it. And I was very impressed with the response that it got. And like you said, you know, your article, your story, your podcast about it, your information about it, hits so many people. And I was very proud of just the people who stood up against this, to the point to where they literally pull it back completely. So
well,
that
here's
alone
the here's
great.
The $64 million question, Josh. What the heck were they going to do with the DNA?
I've got ideas on that one.
Okay, you go first.
The story that, when you introduced this to me, I told you it was so bizarre, because I had been studying DNA in blood a lot lately because of a story that I found about L.E., as they refer to it, which, if you've ever seen that Vanilla Sky movie with Tom Cruise, and they mention a program called L.E., or L.E., which stands for, the acronym stands for life extension. And if you just watched the movie, you would assume it was just an idea that came from a movie. But in actuality, LE, life extension, is a real program. It's something that the elite have put an amazing amount of money into and time. And secretly, they've done this. So as I'm life extension, that's interesting. I was assuming it was going to be like the ideas that you could live in a computer, transfer your brain to that, live through the internet, and you know, many people believe in that idea. I thought that's what it was all about. I was totally wrong. It has nothing to do with that, and it has everything to do with blood. just as DNA has everything to do with blood, this LE, this life extension, has everything to do with blood. So the more that I began to research it, I found a story about Peter Thiel, who is the owner of PayPal. And I read this, you know, you read things online, you read these little headlines, and sometimes they're clickbait, and so it's sensationalism, and you would think, that can't be true. So I, the more that I began to dig into it, the headline that I found was, Peter Thiel was very, very interested in young people's blood. Okay, I'll look into that. It basically, this venture capitalist, this billionaire, this guy who was in Forbes magazine, like one of the four most incredibly rich people in the world, an investor, he's a huge, huge, huge billionaire. This guy, more than anything, believes in this new technology, this new idea that they've come up with. It's called parabiosis. Now, they have to have come up with a new word. So I found parabiosis in the article about Peter Thiel, but the main idea is this. They want to collect, and have been secretly, the blood of children and the blood of the young. And now we're not talking about it in an occult way. When I say they want to collect it, I mean, obviously we know of the hunting of children and the murder of children, the sexual trafficking of children. We know that children are incredibly important to the elite for many reasons. However, this parabiosis is basically the trendy new name given to what is basically an ancient occult belief, which is if you ingest the blood of the young, it will extend your life. You will gain energy from it. Different cultures throughout time have believed this in one way or another. But to have somebody who's such a powerful billionaire come out and literally state, what we want to do is we want to collect the blood of children. We want to start a foundation that will literally begin to collect the blood of the young and label it so that you can go into a elite hospital, and they do have these now, where the hospital isn't an actual hospital, it's the hospital that you pay a very large amount of money, and you go into the hospital, and you begin to receive a blood transfusion. And that's all it's there for. It is, you're not receiving the blood transfusion because you're sick, because you need it. You're receiving it because you're buying it as though it were a drug. And you can choose which age group you want to buy from. They're still trying to figure out if this is actually even legal, but they've already begun to build it.
Do you think do you think that's what's in part going on with the attempted collection of 55,000 DNA samples at the Ravens game?
I think it has a lot to do with it, yes. I really do. I had no idea how big Life Extension was. I had no idea how important. He's trying to create a foundation because he's a philanthropist. And he wants to create this foundation called the Foundation of the Youth. Not the Fountain of Youth, but the Foundation of Youth. It's just a play on words. And he's done quite well, actually, in getting different elitists, bankers, Hollywood movie stars to invest massive amounts of money into the idea of these elite hospitals. And I honestly believe that they've been... Okay, Dave, how about this? Because so many of these things tie together, so many of these stories tie together for many different reasons, and not just this story, but the stories that you and I do on a regular basis, they tie together because it really is all one big web. It spreads out from a central location, which is the elite, and every different individual, quote-unquote, conspiracy, which we have now proven, they all spread out from that one central location. It's everything from the collecting of the blood of children, every one of these, quote, conspiracies. But I one of these, quote, tie-ins, one of these little ideas that they've had, and you remember this, remember all of the checkpoints, the DNA checkpoints that we started hearing about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, from all the way from Oregon to Atlanta, Maine to California, Alabama. We had our own DNA checkpoints. These were set up in the middle of the night by local police. The reports that initially began to come in stating that they would have a DNA checkpoint set up where you would be paid money, in some instances, to give a mouth swab, to urinate into a cup, or to, I think they would give you $50 if you would let them stick you. In many of these DNA checkpoints all over the country, and the more of them that they did, the more people were going, what is the point? You're collecting it. In some states, they would say it was all about looking for drugs, and we're trying to find out how many people drive on painkillers. In another state, it had nothing to do with drugs at all. They would actually have Department of Homeland Security employees who were recorded and reported, seen right there in DHS uniform, taking people's blood, taking their DNA. They begin to even call them in local papers DNA checkpoints. Why? Where's the reason? Where's the actual reason why the federal government, be it through life extension, be it through the NFL, be it through DNA checkpoints, why?
Well, I use the word, Josh, I use the word Frankenstein. And do you remember Frankenstein? You know, this, bring this monster to life, and he almost has superhuman powers, and will scare the H-E double hockey sticks out of people. So that's where my mind went with this at first. But I will tell you this. I had a conversation with a doctor who at that time was part of a longevity research product at Cal Berkeley. And, oh, man, this goes back probably over a dozen years. And he declined to come on the show. In fact, this is actually when I was broadcasting out of Wickenburg. He declined to come on the show because he said he couldn't give me a meaningful show because so much of what he knew was proprietary. But he said, I'll tell you off the record, and I think we're far enough down the road now. He said, if you could live 20 to 30 more years, we have the technology coming into play where you could live 200 to 300 years. And
wow.
That was a quote. And I do think that you're onto something with the life extension. Okay, so why do they need so many DNA samples, though? That's where I'm scratching my head and trying to fit this square peg into a round hole. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I used to, there was this one story that I was kind of hooked on a few years ago. That the more that I read about it, it seemed that the more that I would read about it or find about it, the less information there was. It was almost as though every time I would turn over a new leaf on this particular story, the information would disappear. A couple days later, I couldn't find it again. I would go back to try to discover more about it, and it would just be gone. Eventually, it became like I was running through a maze. The idea was there is, we all have heard of Fort Detrick, Maryland, which is, you know, one of the largest bioweapon labs in the world, the U.S. Army's bioweapons lab. And this is where they keep some of the most dangerous viruses that there have ever been. You know, they have the bubonic plague there. They have typhoid. They have every disease known to man. And the whole point to have these is to create a biological weapon. I mean, it's a bioweapon lab. Here's the strange part. This is where I kind of begin to look. Obviously, we're talking about collecting the blood of the young as a way to extend your life. But, like you said, the Baltimore Ravens game was about collecting the blood of everybody. the DNA checkpoints was about collecting blood of everybody. So while these, again, tie in and then spread out from one central location, there has to be another reason for it other than life extension if you're getting everyone's blood and you're collecting it. This is a massive amount of information. Blood is nothing but information. DNA is just information. So I started going back into this old story of the bioweapons lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland. One of the ideas they came up with, and there was an initial press release about it when the story first broke. They were quite proud of it. Their scientists were quite proud of it. And the idea to do it quickly was you could specifically target a certain, and it isn't even a certain race, you could create a virus. You could create a disease that would literally target a specific race. Yes, that's true. But there was a different project, which was all about specifically targeting people with a certain DNA sequence. So they had a certain DNA code, a certain sequence in their code, and they had created a new virus, a new bioweapon, that would literally go after only these specific people. You could tailor make the virus not just to go after a race, but to go after a specific DNA code or structure. And we all have parts of our DNA that are inactive. They call them junk DNA, for right. those who've never heard of it. And it's supposed to be just complete inactive DNA strands, or they call it junk because they don't have any idea what it's for. Or so they say. And so they just, that's their way of, well, we don't need to talk about that. But it's just junk. No need to talk about it. However, there have been people who have worked on this, worked with this junk DNA and this inactive DNA. And the only way to really work with it, the only way to really study it, is to collect it. And the only way to find out how to make a weapon that could do this, you would have to have trials and trials and trials. And when they came out with the story that they had come up with a bioweapon that could go after people with a certain sequencing in their DNA, it came out of Fort Detrick, Maryland. And suddenly we began collecting massive amounts of DNA on the American people at this exact same time. That was where I went initially. And
you know,
I still hang around with that story. The more that I read about life extension, yes, that's very occult-based, in my opinion. From Elizabeth Bathory, you know, bathing in the blood of beautiful young women, to the elite sacrificing children to consume their energy, their blood, to what, like I said, now they call parabiosis, which is just the latest version of an age-old satanic ritual. From all of that to a bioweapon created to go after people with a certain specific sequence in their DNA, we know how much the elite despise the number of people on the planet. And we know how, and we've heard so many of these elitists do everything that they possibly can to try to raise awareness about eliminating a massive amount of people. I mean, everything from the Georgia Guidestones to Bill Gates doing his little talks about trying to lower the population of the planet. It's not like they're hiding it. That's where I went there.
Well, I'll tell you where my mind first went when I looked at the DNA story. And I wanted to think about it, so I didn't speak out right away. But the very first thing I thought about was, we know the NSA gathers information on everything. Every conversation you have is recorded if there's a cell phone or a tower in proximity. And now we're even talking about...
If anybody knows that, it's you and I.
Yeah, that's no kidding. But I was looking at this DNA situation as information gathering akin to what the NSA is doing on us right now. And the reason they do that, among other reasons, is because they're gathering information for a threat matrix score. And I think it's good to repeat this one story that Patrick Wood told us. In China, Google has set up a system, a rating system, and they're using NSA technology, Google, NSA, Google, same thing. And what they did, it's a point system. And if you have points taken away from you, bad things start to happen. So this lady wrote a story that was critical of the Chinese government. And so, you know, the men in black showed up and they said, you can tell us your story, lady. And she said, I'm really sorry, had a bad day, won't happen again. And they left, and she thought, well, because I didn't drag me off to prison, I'm okay. And then next week, she had lost her job. She got expelled from her university shortly after that and evicted from her home. And this is where we're going in this country with this information, as Pat Wood pointed out, through the wonderful science of technocracy. But now we're looking at information gathering going on in another avenue. Now, I'm going to get really bizarre on you because I don't have any inside sources that are filling me with information about this. And everyone I've talked to says, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Here's what my mind went to secondarily. Back in the 90s, for a while, the show got pretty flippin' bizarre after a while. But after a while, you know, in the beginning, I watched The X-Files. And I remember that they had a theme, and I'm speaking now from a 20-year-old memory, but they had a theme where they had gathered human information on everybody. And one of the plots, or the thing that Fox Mulder was looking into, were the aliens going to move this off-world, kill everyone, and then repopulate the planet in their image. Now, I don't think this has anything to do with aliens, but I do think the plot might be something they're looking at doing. Could they wipe out the planet and only bring back the people they want through selective choice? Kind of like selective breeding. Only now we have selective DNA, selective blood, and we're just going to put about 500,000 of you back on the planet in our lovely Agenda 21 communities, and life will be blissful forever. What do you think, Josh?
Now, when you say put everybody back, do you mean... Define for me what you actually mean.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Let's say that you collect 7 billion DNA samples.
All right.
Yet your goal is to reduce the population to 500,000, and that's the round number we hear from the globalists constantly.
Oh, it's 500 million.
500 million, excuse me. So
yeah.
if we look at that situation, they have all this DNA. They can run all their tests, and they can go, well, this guy won't need much health care. This guy is industrious. This guy is this. This guy... And they have all this information, and they decide whose genes, whose chromosomes, whose blood they're going to reconstitute the form of whatever they want to bring you back as, and probably a servant class would be my guess. That's where my mind went on this, and I'm saying I'm borrowing and kind of adapting from an old X-Files episode, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me unless we're looking at they're going to wipe something out to bring something back.
You know,
that's how I see it.
The idea of tampering with DNA to where you can, with the flip of a switch, change a person's personality. Take a person who is not industrious or doesn't want to work or isn't creative in any way or isn't helping out society at all. They're more of a drag on society. Could you actually alter that person through DNA sequencing? The answer is yes. And they've had that for quite some time. From the research that I've read, or research that I've done, and you know so much about MK Ultra and mind control. You've got two ways to really do what you're suggesting. One would be the old way, which would be MK Ultra, which would be you harm a person through torture and sleep deprivation and et cetera, et cetera. It takes quite some time to finally break the psyche. You shatter the psyche into a million pieces, and then you rebuild it how you want. And they've been doing that since the 50s. And it's horrifying and it's terrifying, but it's a very primitive way of doing that, reaching that goal. This is the 21st century. You've got many people who are involved in science, many people who are involved in the world of technology, who will tell you point blank, especially if they do any research, that what the government possesses when it comes to actual technology, and that doesn't mean just technology with cell phones or computers or the internet or even military, what they show us, what they allow us to have, they're at least 10 to 20 years ahead. So if they're at least 10 to 20 years ahead in what they actually possess, then that would apply to DNA sequencing as well. So, yes, is I suppose, my answer to your question or your statement to what I believe that that could have something to do with it. Yes, you've still got to get rid of an unbelievable number of people. And they've been planning to do that for a very long time. And like you said, the 500 million number is mentioned all the time. It's carved into the Georgia Guidestones, which are the elite's 10 commandments. Number one, to create this new utopia, lower the population of the planet to 500 million. Maintain reproduction wisely. This is carved into the Georgia Guidestones. These are the elite's 10 commandments. Maintain reproduction wisely. Lower the population of the planet to 500 million. So once you do that, yeah, would you want a new society of the same dregs of society as they refer to it? Or would you want to create a better part of society using this new technology that you now possess? And, you know, you can even look into the alien thing, in my opinion, because from all the research that I've done, our technology sure did take an amazing leap forward at a very specific time in our history. And DNA sequencing and DNA manipulation is something that is written about even in the cuneiform tablets in Sumeria. So,
well,
yeah.
Josh, let me interject this too, okay? I'm going to go to my friend Vance Davis, formerly of the NSA, and had a brush with H.W. Bush. This man was really well connected, didn't he?
That's a scary brush right there, my friend.
Scary. It was very scary for him, too. He told me that in his NSA training, and he said this as much on this show, I believe it was this show or the podcast, one or the other, I think maybe even both. But he said, in their training, they were trained there is a war going out in the universe, well, all Christians know this, okay, between good and evil, and that the evil wanted to capture the soul as a slap in the face to the Creator. And, I mean, this is NSA training, people. Don't throw bricks at the radio and say it's heresy. I'm just saying this is what Vance said. And then he said, but they can't crack the code. Now, he told me this in 1994. And this is a good 10 or 12 years before you started hearing terms that would describe transhumanism. But that's what he was describing. He even wrote a book called Unbroken Promises where he discussed this. And I think that book was a 92 book. And he said, this is what's going on, and this is what they're going to try to do. And he said, if they can't get the soul, they're going to morph the person to basically the level of being their slave. And this is why I mentioned they might bring us back as a servant class, because that's where my mind was at with what Vance had said. And I'll give you one more thing that Bill Pollack told me. Bill had done some contract work with the CIA, was one of my best friends. Annie, his common law wife, was our news director for 6 years. Bill passed about 8 years ago from cancer and some pretty mysterious circumstances, too. But anyway, Bill told me, he said, Dave, you're not going to believe me. And he said, you certainly never came across this in your father's work, or you would have told me. But he said he thought that they would create a warrior class to fight battles out there in the cosmos. And he said, your dad bumped up against this when he worked with captured Nazi scientists. He was on the edge of some of the technological breakthroughs, but he said he obviously never came across what I'm telling you now. And he had actually crossed paths with my father. They actually worked too in a high security company called Sunstrand Electric in Westminster, Colorado. and they were there briefly and actually knew each other, and talk about small world. So, Josh, this is where this kind of culminates, and you're saying, is there anything off-planet connected to this? It could be. There are some people that I've known well and known personally and who have a good track record of good information who are saying, this could be coming. And is this what we're seeing? I don't know. I'm posing this as a hypothesis, not going off the deep end saying I'm claiming something to be true when I can't prove it to be true.
No, Josh,
all we can do is offer circumstantial evidence and connect some dots, but the dots are weird.
They are, and like I said, you know, I call it tying when I'm doing my own notation, but I, you know, tie this to this, and it ends up looking like a giant spider web. But when it comes to the ideas of the belief in extraterrestrial life, if you do not believe in the existence of extraterrestrial life, that's perfectly fine. But you have to comprehend that the NSA does. If you've done any research whatsoever into the National Security Agency, there are many different factions within the NSA. The NSA itself is a giant spider web of different organizations that all function together. However, the CIA, again, is another one that has, when we were building Intel, when we were initially building Intel, we started out with the CIA, and because there wasn't really even a charter for the CIA, they were pretty much funded through a black budget, which had an unlimited amount of funds, and there really was no decision on you stick to this particular part. Eventually, yes, it was supposed to be foreign affairs, foreign intrigue, and then they created the NSA. I really do believe that there is some kind of connection to, if you want to call it extraterrestrial life, that's perfectly fine. But if you know Jim Mars, who recently passed away, was one of my all time favorite researchers, and he wrote about Sumeria, and I had never been taught about Sumeria before. And that was really during a time in my life I was in college, and he brought me over into so much information. But one of the things I was amazed, I had read his book, Rule by Secrecy, and I'm reading 400 pages of nothing but pure conspiracy research, and it's all about politics, and it's all about the things that we've talked about here tonight. It's about the occult. And suddenly, at the very end of the book, he hits you with Sumer and Sumeria, and the extraterrestrials who came to this planet, and here's all of the proof that we have. Oh, by the way, here's what the NSA has on it. I was completely blown away by it. And when it comes to DNA, you can't help, and when you're doing the research, you can't help but kind of look towards that element of the story. Because there is a chink in that DNA armor, like we were talking about with the junk DNA or the inactive DNA. They toy with these things, building people a certain way. They toy with these things. But the Sumerians spoke about this as well. The first civilization on the face of the planet spoke about manipulating DNA, toying with it, and building and creating it. Altering people, creating people, splicing people. These aren't new ideas, as you said earlier. So, you know, Dave, every time you and I do a show together or do a podcast, it ends up going into about 15 different subjects, because that's the web, my friend. Not the interweb, but the web that we discover when we do all this research. These people are vile. They are evil. They do hate people like us. And we are dangerous to them. Most people can't even fathom that we would be dangerous in any way. They're so powerful. They're so rich. They're the elite. They can do anything they want.
Josh,
but the one thing they fear...
One of the things that I looked at with these people were, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. When you go back to the NSA, what I have looked for, I'm telling you, MJ-12 was a real group. Now, was it a real group? I'll say this. Was it a real group to deceive? Because I'll tell you a piece of information my father told me, and I'll make this brief because we're coming up on the end of the hour. But he told me Roswell was not an alien event. We were using high-altitude balloon surveillance of Soviet atomic tests, and we wanted to know what they were up to, and we didn't want them to know what we were doing. Now, this was the poor man's version of satellites in that day, in 1947. And he said that they had test dummies up there to run tests, and when it crashed, they said, oh, how can we cover this? Oh, hey, yeah, these are little aliens here. And he said that was the cover story. But I do know for a fact MJ-12 was a real event. Now, was it real or was it disinformation? That's the question that I've never been able to solve. But here's what I'm looking for. Do you
or
know
Project
the answer?
Blue Book, same thing.
Well, Project Blue Book was clear disinformation.
Right.
But when we look at MJ-12, and they're tossing cabinet members out of windows, when we look at MJ-12, is there a connection between that and the creation in 1947 of the NSA and the CIA? What do you think? We got about 1 minute.
I think yes. I think that when you look at intel and you think how deep this goes, take it to the Denver International Airport, take it to Dulce, New Mexico. Take it to all the underground bases that we've talked about before. That's all intel. That's all NSA. That's all CIA. Committee of 300. And every bit of it has some type of reference to extraterrestrial life. Dulce especially. Dulce, New Mexico is probably the base in Dulce, New Mexico is probably one of the most horrifying places on planet Earth. I had a friend of mine that was in the Air Force, and he, some of the things that he told me about Dulce was absolutely terrifying. And so, yes, I really do believe that intel has a great deal to do with going all the way back to our DNA story that we started with. I think this is an intel operation. I think it's an NSA operation. I think it's a Department of Homeland Security operation to a degree. I think all the checkpoints they had were all NSA
I agree.
Related.
Josh, we got to hold it right here because we are at the end of the hour, and you haven't
Dave,
done big
I lost
time
all,
radio
all the time. Just totally lost it. My bad. This is
awesome. This is awesome stuff. But we got to scoot, my friend. Again, your show airs right here on Global Star Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in, people. Josh, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to have you back again because I think we have some unfinished business. Thanks again for joining us. To everybody else,
we'll
be back in hour number two with Dr. Ted Brower.